And on the line I have Anthony Bowles, and he's the lead singer with Red Room. Hello, how are you, Anthony?
How are you doing there now? How's it going?
Okay, I just have the CD, no information on any of the songs or names of any of the songs and stuff. So that was track four. What was the name of that one?
That was The Kids Are All Right.
Okay, it's absolutely terrific. Yeah. I mean, I have to admit that out of the tracks on it, I've about six particularly favourite. I've played three of them a couple of times, but terrific. And what's the name of the album?
The album is called Red Room as well. Okay. I just named it after the band and the room we used to play in. So.
Okay. And you have it on vinyl as well.
Yeah, that's why your CD has no track listing. That was a yoke we put in for you with the vinyl. I'm surprised the radio stations aren't playing records anymore.
That's true. We do have the capacity, I think, but I think there's a needle missing. But anyway, when I played the CD itself, someone came in and said, "That's pretty good," and I was telling them about it, and they saw the vinyl. "Can I have that?" And I said, "Yeah, okay." And I'm sorry
now. We'll send you another one.
I'm sorry now. Well, give us a bit of biography of who's in the band and how you got together.
Well, that's the thing. We were together as friends for years and years before we made the record, and we used to just in the pub and we'd argue about music. I mean, just before Google, we'd talk about who wrote what or who played and what, who's your favourite drummer, who's your favourite bass player and all that. And then one year we just said, you know, stop talking about it and let's make a record, because we're all musicians ourselves. Like the bass player, Donal, he was the original bass player in the Golden Horde, for example, if you remember them going way back.
Simon Carmody. That's terrific. I was only talking about them last week. I was asking about, and then my son was saying, yeah, I often see Simon around town, so there you go.
Yeah, he's still knocking around. Well, Donal, our bass player, he was the original bass player with them when they first got going. And he's been my friend for years, and I played in a band called Caliban for years as well, and so did Jerry. So we're all just musicians, and we decided to do a thing, and it became a project that we took on, and we had great fun doing it, so we decided we might as well make a record.
Mm-hmm. And the band name? Red Room.
Red Room. We were used to rehearse in a room with a red carpet, and we used to drink in a snug in a pub that was all red, so we just called it Red Room. Okay. We kind of ran out of ideas, actually, to be honest.
Okay. Now, you got together, you said you were playing in pubs. Are you still doing that as well?
Well, I personally play a lot of traditional Irish music now, and I missed the old rock and roll. I missed the electric guitars, so, because we used to gig all over the place, all over the world, actually, with the rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just missed it, and we wanted to rock out again, let our hair down, because we were getting older, you know.
So did you just get together, make the album, and then sort of leave each other and sort of go back to your own things?
We're still together. We've recorded a few other songs just for the crack, you know. I suppose in the old days you'd call them B-sides, extra tracks. We still meet, we still play together. Gig-wise, we were waiting to get discovered and get a massive record deal, and then we'd get the effort together to make some gigs. We felt like it, but we weren't pushed in any direction to do that, you know. So we're taking it as it comes. The record was done just for the essence of making pure music again, making pure rock and roll.
Absolutely great. Well, I mean, I don't know how long ago it was made, but I mean, it's sort of timeless to an extent. I was going to say it's entirely contemporary. I mean, in 10 years' time, I'd still be playing this type of music. I really mean that. It's terrific stuff.
It is. It was done with that in mind. We took on board all of our influences over the years, and we realised we were influencing still the kids who want to make records now. We're still listening to the Velvet Underground, and they're still listening to the Ramones. And you see little kids out there wearing Ramones T-shirts, and they don't know who they are. But the essence is there. So long as their mommy and their daddy knows and buys them the T-shirt, they'll grow up. And if you want to rebel against something, you're going to listen to the Ramones, you're going to listen to the Stones, the Velvet Underground. You're not going to be influenced by whoever won the X Factor the last year, running or whatever. So those influences are going to be there. Those bands made rock and roll, and we were just filling in the blanks for our little life, you know, where we came along, where we learned our music from.
Well, I sort of get the feeling there'll be a lot of kids wearing Red Room T-shirts as well when they hear the album. And the process of, I mean, I know it's a question always asked, the process of writing songs, who does the writing and the music and whatever, and do you all do it together?
We do it together, and we did it individually. We sat down and we made some rules. We said, right, all the songs have to be 3 minutes long, first chorus, middle, eight chorus. They have to be about songs. The songs have to be about girls, cars, etc. And go home, write a couple, come back, and we'll see what happens. Of course, everybody ignored those rules. One of the songs is over 9 minutes long. It's about fetishism and lost love, and half of it's in French. The other one, another one is really long and acoustic, and it's about a love affair in Rome. All the songs I wrote about chicks and girls, and then I I read the lyrics and I said, no, they're not. They're about the degradation of society and the lack of moral fibre and the lack of something to properly rebel against in modern times, etc. So we ignored the rules, but the recording process was very simple. We met probably once a week, had a few pints, got out the guitars, jammed, played, press record, and that was about it, really.
Okay. And where are you all from? Are you from around the Fingal area?
No, I'm from Dundrum originally. I live in the city centre now. Our guitar player, Jerry, he's from Dundalk originally. And Donal, he's from Dundrum as well, actually, just up the road from me. But we all live in the city centre and work in the city centre, so we've been around.
Where did you say you live now, Anthony? Of Phibsborough, is that what you said?
No, in the city centre. I'm city here centre. In Dublin.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so are you doing gigs as a band in as Red Room around the place to let people know so they can go and see you?
No, we're not. The only outlet we had was the record, and we wanted to release it only on vinyl, so we did that. If you were looking to buy the tracks, of course, we relented in the end, and we released it on iTunes, and you can get it on CD, baby. If you want a copy of the album itself, the vinyl, it's a collector's item now. It's on red vinyl. It's numbered, and you can get it from Amazon.com or .co.uk. You can actually buy some of the albums left. There's a few there left. But it wasn't done as a commercial venture. We knew we weren't going to make money out of it. We just wanted to make a record, because something over the years, MP3s became really easy to get. Every band was making CDs, and they just said there's no mystery involved in the process anymore. I remember when I was a kid starting out, you had to make a record, you had to be played on the radio, you had to go on the TV. But now, because there's so much social media and free access to the airwaves, that there's just so much music out there. And I said, I wanted to make it like the old days, the excitement of releasing a record. Mm-hmm. And not only that, the excitement of buying a record. When you take it home and you hold it up and you look at it and you read all the bits and you look at all the grooves and you play it. And it was an exciting thing to have a record. That was the idea behind it. So we wanted to make it not only hard for us to make, but I know this sounds like commercial suicide, but hard to actually get as well.
Yes, yeah. I have to say, I'm going to mug my colleague and get that vinyl back.
I'll send you another one. Okay. I'll send you another one.
You sound extremely modest and blasé about it. And I mean, it's really good music, though. I mean, there's no reason
Thank
why you shouldn't
much.
Be playing it. No, I'm serious about that. And I mean, did you send it into a lot of stations or a lot of, promoters or something?
I think we sent it out to about 20 people.
Okay. Because it's really good.
Well, spread the word. Put it up on I'm sure you have a Twitter account or a website.
We do, it's really good.
Hop on it, because it's still available to buy. Like I said, it is timeless music, and we're not in a hurry. Mm-hmm. We're not out to make number one in any chart anywhere. If you want to buy it in 20 years' time, I'm hoping it's still going to be there. Like, you look at something like the Velvet Underground, when they made their first album, they sold very, very few records, but I doubt you can name a band from the 60s on, 70s on, who weren't influenced by them and went on to make their own records. Mm-hmm. So, for us, it was more about a little place in rock and roll history rather than trying to make money or be famous. I mean, I'm just sick and tired of people who just want to be famous for the sake of it.
Well, so I mean, that's...
We wanted to make a piece of art, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the mantra for a lot of people these days. And it just doesn't work either. You have the talent or you don't. And they just don't last. When you think about what concerts people are going to see, I mean, they're even using the term, Ireland's become, around the area, the graveyard for all rock and rolls. But, I mean, they fill the place when they come here. No matter what it is. And I could see you doing that. Actually, there was a conjunction with the Dublin City Council and Near FM last week up in Father Collins Park here in Donegal. They had a fabulous outdoor gig with a band called Lear and the Bionic Rats. And two other bands. I'll be shot if I can't remember their names. But it was terrific. And I could see you on that bill and getting the crowd stirred up with this stuff.
Well, we're from that era. And back in the 80s, the late 80s and the early 90s, when we went out to play, nobody knew who anybody was. Mm-hmm. There was no social media, so nobody heard the music before. Every single song you had to be good enough to play in a dark, smelly room full of strangers who never heard the tracks before. The tracks had to be good enough to stand up in that. And a lot of those bands, if you play them today, if you go and see the gig, you'll still be entertained. And all the old lads might have beer bellies and some of them might be balding, but the music will be good, a lot of it.
Yeah. Did you find that, you're saying you're going back to the 80s there. How long have you been Red Room now for me?
Red Room, Red Room is actually 4 years old. It took 3 years to make the record.
Okay.
Because it started out as just a little fun project, something to do. And we got together once a week, every Friday, to knock out ideas. And then when we had all of the songs together, I said, lads, this is worth actually doing properly. So we got the proper studio out and pressed record properly. We did all the demos, and then we went into a big studio to finish it off, and we put a lot of effort into making it as good as we possibly could in the end, and we were delighted with the results. Now, we could have done the whole thing in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of recording, honestly. If you listen to it, it's just guitars and drums, basically.
It's the old way. It's the old way, which is the best way. Terrific. Yeah.
So it could have taken us a lot quicker. But like I said, the whole idea is to make a timeless record. I mean, it's like if you're painting a really good painting, if you're an artist, not everybody's going to want to see it. Not everybody's going to be into it. So we just want... We've made it. That's important for us, you know. Yeah. And we did the best we could. And we might make another one.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have to be gold to go up on your wall anyway. So that's it. Okay, yeah. Listen, congratulations, Andy. It's a fabulous album.
Thank you very much.
And I shall continue to play it all the time. And we'll get this up on the website as well and do the best we can. But it's really terrific.
Thank you very much. I'll send you on a new copy and I'll send you a link with pictures you can post on.
Yeah,
so you can see what we look like.
Yeah, and it's a pity that that you're not gigging, because I'd really like to go and see you as well. So maybe I'll get in touch if I hear any more about these outdoor gigs that we're running or whatever with the...
Yeah,
outdoor.
No, we'd be delighted to. We're certainly capable of playing live, you know.
Tell you, lads, I keep getting together every now and again in the red room and practice, even if it's only Ben in the elbow. Okay, thank you very much, Anthony. That's Anthony Bowles, lead singer with the Red Room. Thank you.
All right. Oh, Noel, are you still there?
Yes, yeah.
If you do want to get it, here's another way you can actually see what we look like. Sorry, I forgot to mention it. The lads are killing me. We have a website. It's redroomboom.com.
Redroomboom.com.
Yep.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right.
Okay, another track for you now. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Bye.